Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Five ways to celebrate Mother's Day with someone who has dementia. New York. With Mother's Day taking place May 14th, and with women accounting for two-thirds of all Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, according to the National Institutes of Health, NIH, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, AFA, is offering five tips to celebrate Mother's Day with someone living with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia-related illness. Mother's Day is a time to honor the special mother figures in your life. And if your loved one lives with dementia, it can continue to be special with a few adaptations, said Jennifer Reeder, LCSW, AFA's Director of Educational and Social Services, in a Monday press release. Following a few steps can help you celebrate your special person and the bond you share in a dementia-friendly manner. Here are some ideas for families impacted by dementia to celebrate Mother's Day. Reminisce together. Familiar faces and old photos can bring joy and comfort to someone living with dementia, even if the person can't remember the names. Look at old photos together and describe them for your loved one as you go through them, who the people are, what the occasion was, etc. Avoid asking questions like, "Do you remember?" as that can make someone living with a memory disorder feel embarrassed or ashamed. Adapt old favorites. Dementia-related illnesses can impact a person's ability to do things as they previously did, so it's important to be adaptable. If the person loved going to a certain restaurant but no longer can, order in food from that establishment instead. If they enjoyed playing a musical instrument but can't anymore, listen to their favorite music with them. Create new memories. Quality time together is one of the best Mother's Day gifts anyone can give. When planning activities, take a strengths-based and person-centered approach and incorporate what the person can do and what they choose to do now, rather than dwelling on what they used to do. Focus on those things that bring joy and let go of activities that seem too stressful. Flowers are a gift with therapeutic benefits. Flowers are a very popular Mother's Day gift, and they can be especially good for someone living with dementia. The scent can help improve mood, promote positive feelings, and stimulate the brain. Purchase a bouquet of fresh flowers, set it on a table, and enjoy the fragrances together. Make your own Mother's Day card. Write a Mother's Day card and read it out loud to your loved one. Even if they can no longer grasp the full meaning, the act of writing it and communicating your love can help lift your own spirits. AFA's helpline, staffed entirely by licensed social workers who are specifically trained in dementia care, can provide additional information and support for families. The helpline is available 7 days a week by phone, 866-232-8484. Text message, 646-586-5283. And web chat, www.alzfdn.org. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support, services, and education to individuals, families, and caregivers affected by Alzheimer's disease and related dementias nationwide, and to fund research for better treatment and a cure. Its services include a national toll-free helpline, 866-232-8484, staffed by licensed social workers, the National Memory Screening Program, educational conferences and materials, and AFA Partners in Care dementia care training for healthcare professionals. For more information about AFA, call 866-232-8484, visit www.alzfdn.org, follow us on Twitter, or connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. AFA holds Charity Navigator's top 4-star rating. In surprise move, Texas House panel okays bill raising age to buy semi-automatic rifles. By Alejandro Serrano and Eleanor Klebanoff of the Texas Tribune. In a surprise move days before the Allen Mall shooting and hours before a key legislative deadline, a Texas House committee advanced a bill Monday that would raise the minimum age to purchase certain semi-automatic rifles. The bill faces an uphill climb to becoming state law, but the vote marked a milestone for the proposal that relatives of Uvalde shooting victims have been pushing for months. Several relatives of children who were killed in the Robb Elementary School shooting last year sobbed when the committee voted 8-5 to send the bill to the House floor. Republican State Representatives Sam Harless and Justin Holland joined with Democrats on the House Community Safety Select Committee to advance the bill. Less than 2 hours earlier, some of the relatives of Uvalde victims had urged the committee chair, Representative Ryan Gillen, Republican Rio Grande, to give House Bill 2744 a vote before a key deadline Monday. 1 year ago today, my daughter had her communion. About a month later, she was buried in that same dress, Javier Cazares, whose 9-year-old daughter Jacqueline was killed in the Uvalde shooting, said during an emotional press conference. Mr. Gullen and anyone else who is stopping this bill from passing, sad to say, but more blood will be on your hands. Monday marks the last day House bills can be voted out of committee in the lower chamber. House bills that don't meet that deadline face increasingly difficult odds of becoming law, though there are some avenues through which measures left in committees could be revived. HB 2744, filed by Democratic Representative Tracy King, whose district includes Uvalde, was debated before the House Select Committee last month, during a hearing in which relatives of Uvalde victims shared emotional accounts of lives torn asunder by gun violence. Monday's legislative deadline falls 2 days after a gunman in Allen, a Dallas suburb of about 100,000 people, killed 8 shoppers at an outdoor mall with an AR-15-style rifle, the same type of weapon used by the gunman in Uvalde, where he killed 19 children and 2 teachers. Because the man identified as the gunman in Allen was 33, raising the age limit for semi-automatic rifle purchases likely wouldn't have kept him from purchasing such a weapon. But Saturday's shooting renewed calls for tightening some gun laws in a state whose lawmakers have loosened firearm restrictions despite repeated mass shootings. On Sunday, after the Allen shooting, Governor Greg Abbott again doubled down on the GOP's resistance to gun control legislation. House Speaker Dade Phelan said earlier this year that he does not believe HB 2744 has the votes to pass the chamber, but that he won't stand in the way of it being debated. A similar bill in the Senate has not yet received a hearing, and Abbott has said the law would not be constitutional. Energy security, topic of Petroleum Museum Lecture. Midland. The Petroleum Museum, through the support of the Abel Hanger Foundation, will welcome geologist, educator, energy expert, and documentary filmmaker Dr. Scott W. Tinker at 7 p.m. Thursday, May 18th. A Monday news release said Dr. Tinker will discuss the important challenges of affordable and reliable energy for the world while protecting the environment. Providing security is a primary objective of every global leader. With the fervent push in Western Europe and the U.S. to address climate issues and the resultant policy-driven energy crisis in the European Union, several important realities are becoming clear. First, there are no clean and dirty renewable and non-renewable energy sources. They all have benefits and environmental impacts. There are trade-offs. Second, not everything can or should be electrified. Many of the industrial materials and services required by global economies, such as steel, cement, plastic, ammonia, and transoceanic travel, require high heat produced by burning energy-dense molecules. Finally, secure energy, affordable, reliable, and safe, underpins economic health, lifts people from poverty, and enables nations to invest in the environment, including atmospheric emissions reductions. Intermittent sources such as solar and wind require expensive backups to make them reliable. Recognizing these realities sets the framework for a balanced dialogue about energy, climate, poverty, and other major global issues. Scott Tinker brings industry, government, academia, and non-governmental organizations together to address major societal challenges in energy, the environment, and the economy. He is director of the Bureau of Economic Geology, the State Geologist of Texas, and a professor holding the Alday Endowed Chair in the Jackson School of Geosciences at the University of Texas at Austin. With director Harry Lynch, Dr. Tinker co-produced the award-winning documentary films Switch and Switch On, which have been screened in over 50 countries. Dr. Tinker founded the nonprofit Switch Energy Alliance, whose educational materials appear from schools to boardrooms globally. Tinker is the host of PBS Energy Switch, an energy and climate talk show appearing on over 200 PBS stations nationwide, and Earth Date, featured weekly on over 450 public radio stations in all 50 states. In his visits to some 60 countries, Dr. Tinker has given over 1,000 keynote and invited lectures. He also presented a TEDx talk on the dual challenge, energy and environment. Join as Dr. Tinker shares the framework for a balanced dialogue about energy, climate, poverty, and other major global issues. This is sure to be a vital lecture about energy and our future. Admission is free. Seating is limited and reservations are strongly recommended. Make your reservation online today at www.pbpetro.org or call 432-683-4403. Museum members are invited to a reception with Dr. Tinker at 6:30 p.m. May 18th. Not a member? Support the museum by purchasing your membership today online at pbpetro.org/memberships or call 432-683-4403. Driver in deadly Texas crash charged with manslaughter by Valerie Gonzalez from the Associated Press. Brownsville. The driver of an SUV who killed 8 people when his car slammed into a bus stop in Brownsville, Texas, has been charged with manslaughter, police said Monday, as investigators tried to determine if the crash was intentional. Authorities believe driver George Alvarez, 34, of Brownsville, lost control after running a red light Sunday morning and plowed into a crowd outside a migrant center. Police Chief Felix Sauceda said Alvarez was charged with 8 counts of manslaughter and 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Officials are awaiting toxicology reports to determine whether Alvarez was intoxicated, Sauceda said, adding that there was no motive that he could discuss. Asked about reports from witnesses that Alvarez was cursing at them, Sauceda said there was nothing to confirm that yet. The SUV ran a red light, lost control, flipped on its side, and struck 18 people, Sauceda said at a news conference Monday morning. 6 people died on the scene, and 12 people were critically injured. Officials have said the death toll rose later. Alvarez tried to flee, but was held down by several people on the scene. His bail was set at $3.6 million. Surveillance video from the Bishop Enrique San Pedro Ozanam Center showed some of the victims sitting on the curb when they were hit at the city bus stop. This SUV, a Range Rover, just ran the light that was about 100 feet away and just went through the people who were sitting there in the bus stop, said shelter director Victor Maldonado, who reviewed the surveillance video. Some people walking on the sidewalk about 30 feet from the main group were hit too, Maldonado said. Victims struck by the vehicle were waiting for the bus to return to downtown Brownsville after spending the night at the overnight shelter, said Sister Norma Pimentel, executive director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. The shelter is the only overnight shelter in the city and manages the release of thousands of migrants from federal custody. The victims were all male, and several of them were from Venezuela, Sauceda said. The department is working with representatives of Venezuela and other countries. Brownsville is a proud, resilient city, he said. We will work with our network and supporters to ensure reunification efforts and assistance is made available to all affected. Brownsville, long an epicenter for migration across the U.S.-Mexico border, has become a key location of interest as the U.S. prepares for the end of pandemic-era border restrictions that allowed the quick expulsion of many migrants. The approaching change is sparking concerns about whether the end of immigration limits under Title 42 of a 1944 public health law will mean even more migrants will try to cross the southern border. Many of those crossing the border are entering through Brownsville, just north of the Mexican border town of Matamoros. Brownsville has seen a surge of Venezuelan migrants over the last 2 weeks for reasons that aren't yet clear, authorities said. The recent surge in the number of migrants prompted Brownsville commissioners to indefinitely extend a declaration of emergency during a special meeting last week. Roughly 30,000 migrants, mostly from Venezuela, have entered the U.S. in the region since mid-April. That's compared with 1,700 migrants Border Patrol agents encountered in the first 2 weeks of April. County meeting has busy agenda Tuesday. By Laura Dennis. Ector County Commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the County Annex with an agenda that includes a discussion on sprucing up the Ector County Coliseum, several resolutions, and also discussion on the county's environmental Facebook page. County Judge Dustin Fawcett's county agenda stated Tuesday's meeting includes a public works presentation and thank you, as well as a proclamation on National Police Week and Peace Officers Memorial Day. Police Week is May 14th through the 20th, and May 15th is Peace Officers Memorial Day. Fawcett said another resolution is in support of State Representative Brooks Landgraf's legislation to name a stretch of Business I-20, Highway 80 in Ector County between Loop 338 and the Ector County line as Wilson and Young Medal of Honor Highway. Fawcett said the legislation has passed the Texas House and now heads to the Senate to honor the two war heroes from Odessa. They like to see resolutions of local support to help push it through. A resolution of support to the arena football team, West Texas Warbirds, is to recognize them as the county's arena team. They are our team and have done a great job and have a great commitment to the community. The commissioners will also consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a $100 donation from Jim or Vicky Bilta for animal control. Consider an official Ector County email for Howard Marks, library director. Consider an artwork transfer to a local nonprofit of Heidi Petra's exhibit artwork from the library. Consider approving creating a new Facebook page for the Ector County Environmental Enforcement Department. Fawcett said a previous Facebook page was not representing the county in a positive way. We need to retool that and have a good plan. The previous page usage was disparaging. It was meant to be funny, but didn't represent the county well, and we felt it needs a rebrand. The commissioners will also discuss awarding bids and proposals to discuss, consider, and take any necessary action regarding the bid specifications on armored car services. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding bid specifications for road construction material, including seal coat aggregate, graded base material, asphalt patching material, liquid asphalt emulsion, and water. Consider a proposal for the Coliseum Complex exterior painting. Fawcett said there is a proposal to paint a few different barns and work on an overall facelift of the Ector County Coliseum. He said the county has been working the local master gardeners who have done some work around the buildings. He also indicated there are no longer any discussions of selling the venue. We are arranging stakeholder meetings and looking, especially as we go into budget, to see what improvements can we make to improve the experience there for taxpayers, Fawcett added. Consider a food service amendment for the meal program at the jail. Consider the inmate housing contract with Crane County. Fawcett said the item is for services provided by Crane to Ector County to house Ector County inmates. He bemoaned the fact that currently Ector County has 7 contracts with outside counties to house inmates. He said during this year's coming budget, they must address compensation for jailers, adding that Midland gave their jailers a 15% bump and that Ector County must figure out how to pay enough to keep the jail staffed. We have hundreds of empty jail beds from a new expansion, and it's a slap in the face to taxpayers that we have not figured out a way to fund jailers. The commissioners will also consider entering into an agreement with Encore to install streetlights in the Hillmont Estates subdivisions north of Odessa Schlemeyer Field. Consider an interlocal agreement with the Texas Department of Emergency Management for the use of available space at the Ector County Courthouse for a future county liaison position. Consider Ector County's inclusion in an agreement between Ector County Governmental Purchasing Group and the HON Furniture Company. This is a furniture discount agreement being facilitated by Medical Center Hospital for several local government agencies. Consider a brush truck for Goldsmith Volunteer Fire Department using ARPA funds. Consider an agreement with First in Public Safety Solutions for the purchase and upfitting of 1 pumper tanker apparatus for the Goldsmith Volunteer Fire Department using ARPA funds. Consider allowing the purchasing agent to approve change orders for construction projects under $50,000. Consider a revision to the construction inspector job title description. Consider allowing the Sheriff's Department to open a separate new funds account for the new animal control microchip program.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.